Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, he need cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, victors!
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kodagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wukunja Hare, Hingedena. I want to welcome everyone to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake. And this is a show where we discuss national and Twin City Native American news and events. And as you all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline, 651-304-9986. You can call them Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Wow, hey. So let's get the show rolling here. Mm-hmm. We got Ogama with the news. Hey, welcome, Ogama, and let us have it.
Hey, Buju, as always, I'm excited to share some events that are coming up surrounding the Stop Line 3 movement. So starting tonight at 6:30, so in about a half an hour, there is a Stronger Together to Stop Line 3 event regarding missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. This event is sponsored by MN350, Building a Climate Movement in Minnesota, Rise Coalition, and the Sierra Club North Star Chapter. The event is online via Zoom or Facebook Live. Again, that starts today at 6:30 p.m. and is scheduled to run till about 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight's part of the Zoom is going to be discussing and giving space to families and relatives of those who are experiencing missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. And then the second part of the event is January 30th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. as well. And that one is going to be an hour-long program and be informative informative information about the most recent MMIW task force, the epidemic, and also hearing from Minnesota policymakers to understand how this epidemic is going to be addressed in legislation. They do want to remind people who are participating that it is imperative that attendees stand in solidarity with our Indigenous relatives during this session. So you should plan to, if you're attending the session, to stay past 8 p.m. if the Indigenous speakers or the people that are speaking for the event does go longer than that 8 p.m. You can go to the event on Facebook to sign up. There is also a Line 3 virtual call to action meeting that will be bi-weekly. That one is also hosted by MN350, Building a Climate Movement in Minnesota. That one is Thursday, starting at 7:30 p.m. and running until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is going to be a bi-weekly call to get an update on the status of Line 3 and the upcoming opportunities to get involved to stop it. You can sign up to get the Zoom link at mn350.org and clicking on the events link and Line 3 Action Calls link. And in St. Paul, there will be a Protect the Water, Revoke the Permits rally starting at Kellogg Park on Friday at 3:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. That one is also hosted by MN350 and as well as the Environment Minnesota team. They are gathering at Kellogg Park and then will walk to the Army Corps of Engineers office, who are the ones who issued the permits, to make voices heard and demonstrate to the powers that be that we will not allow business as usual to carry on unanswered. It is family friendly. Make sure you wear your masks and practice social distancing. As far as Line 3 goes, that's the updates I have for events. I don't want to take too much time away from Nancy. There was a really exciting update from the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition on Facebook. They updated their Facebook a little more than an hour ago, and the statement read, "Thank you, Governor Walz and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, for including $500,000 per year to create a statewide Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Office, an additional $2.5 million in grants to address sex trafficking, and $10 million for grants to crime victims." So that is really exciting and helpful news, right, Robert?
It sure is. Wow. That's pretty amazing. Now we just need $500,000 to fight Line 3.
Right, exactly. So this next piece is something that, you know, I'm going to probably have a hard time not being angry about. So this comes to us from WDIO.com. Congressman Pete Stauber has introduced a bill called Saving America's Mines Act. In a statement, his office said the legislation that will prohibit any administration from unilaterally halting the mining of critical minerals on federal lands where mining is currently permissible. He introduced the legislation with President Joe Biden and his administration, basically as a politically motivated mineral withdrawal in the Superior National Forest. So this is something that is going to be really not good for Minnesota, much in the same thing as the Line 3 aspects. Another fun, not-so-good news portion about this is every Republican member of the Minnesota delegation signed on as a co-sponsor of this legislation.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm really disappointed and upset to hear that. What else do we have here?
Well,
one
of the things.
Go ahead, Robert.
Sorry, I was going to just say one of the things that we're doing on the show today is we're going to have Liz Jackla's daughter singing the water song, and that's going to come up next. And so we're excited about that. And I just thought I would say that while you're looking for your next news.
Yeah, so the next piece of news I have comes from The Guardian, and this one made me upset too. So the former head of a Canadian casino company and his wife, who is an actor, have been fined after chartering a private plane to a remote community near the Alaska border and receiving coronavirus vaccines meant for vulnerable Indigenous residents. So their names are Rodney and Ekaterina Baker. So they traveled to Beaver Creek, which is a community of about 100 people in Canada's Yukon Territory. And there was a mobile team there who was administering the Moderna vaccine to residents. So most of those who were slated for the vaccine were elderly members of the White River First Nation who have been selected because they're at high risk as the elderly population. Once they got there, the Bakers claimed to be workers at a local motel. Somebody tipped them off and they're going to be charged and fined. But the maximum fine only carries an amount of about $500 Canadian, which translates to roughly $392 American, plus a $75 in Canadian dollars surcharge, 6 months in jail or both. The chief of the White River tribe, Angela Demick, called the punishment too lenient. Just for some fun facts on, you know, how much money these people make. Rodney Baker was the head of the Great Canadian Gaming Corporation until last Sunday when he resigned. They run racetracks and casinos across Canada. His total annual compensation in 2019 was $10.6 million in Canadian, according to the Yukon News.
Wow.
So they chartered a private plane to go get vaccinations that were intended for elderly Native American populations in Canada, and that
of course they did.
And white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable, yeah. But it's not believable.
Right, it's really not surprising at all. But how horrible!
Right.
People really have a lot of gall.
Well,
they really do.
That's some awesome news, and I can't wait. And I know Ogumai, you've been practicing your water song, and that's coming up next. We're excited to find out a little bit about what's happening with this, and I know there's an action happening, and there's a whole bunch of things, and you know, maybe we'll get Wendy to do a TikTok with the water song
later. I'll definitely do a TikTok.
No, that's good.
I'm up for it.
All right, well, hey, why don't we take a break? You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake and Pini Gigi Ogama for the news. We'll be right back after this short break.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline, 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Awesome. Hey, it's Tuesday, so what does that mean?
That means we have Nancy Bolio today.
Ooh, good one. Hey, welcome, Nancy, from the deep north there, from Bemidji 350 and Rise Coalition. Welcome today.
Robert, for having me tonight, every Tuesday, depending, I guess, until I have a wonderful guest. She is from the Fatherland Revolution, and she is actually a human okay council member. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that is. And see if we got Liz on the line right now. Welcome, Liz.
Bonjour. How are you?
Oh, hey, I know you only have a few minutes, so we're gonna let you flow, and then we're gonna play the audio of your daughter. So tell us a little bit about what we're about to play.
Sure. So the water song. First of all, miigwech for having me, and I'm so excited. I'm my mind is a little divided between a couple of things here, but I'm focusing now. So the water song. Jagger singing the water song. It's the Nibi song that Doreen Day made with her grandson. And it was based on some of the teachings of Dr. Masaru Emoto out of Japan, when he learned by proving it through science that water has memory and that water reacts to our energy. Now, these are teachings we've known, right? but it was now confirmed through science. And so he said that, you know, the water likes it when we speak to it. So Mushkun's, Doreen's grandson, said, you know, Grandma, don't you think the water would like us to sing to it in our language? So they made this song. I asked Doreen if it would be okay if we recorded Jagger singing the song and then shared it through a video so that people all across Turtle Island could learn this song and record themselves, you know, sending in videos of themselves singing this water song. Jagger was down for it. Doreen said, of course you can. So here it is. I'm so excited. I'm happy we get to share it. And I hope that everyone learns to sing this water song, to sing to the water, to let her know that we love her, we respect her, and we appreciate her.
Oh, let's take a listen, Patrick.
It really, it's so beautiful. How old is
Jagger?
She's 8.
Wow.
And she's been singing that song since she was, before she was born, you know, like, she's a water walker, and we've walked the waters with Grandma Josephine Iban, and also with Grandma Sharon, and all of the water walkers. Jagger's been right there with us through many of those.
Wow,
that's really beautiful.
We're going to post your video, and we're going to send it out on TikTok, and we're going to get it all out there because it's a beautiful message and a beautiful video of your daughter and the surrounding areas.
It really is. And Liz, would you be able to tell us what the words in English are, just for our audience? I know what they are because I saw the video, but for our audience members.
So it says that water, we love you. We thank you, we respect you. And, you know, imagine people across, you know, the world singing this to the water and to remind her that we do love and respect and appreciate and thank her for everything she does for us, right? Like that would change people's perspective, even thinking like, oh, I'm going to sing this water song now. And it causes you to take pause and realize how important water is, how we cannot live without water, and how it is crucial to every human function.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing this. And we want to, when we get on StreamYard next week, we want to play the video also too and really push this out. But we're going to be start pushing this out. I know you're really busy, and I really appreciate you spending some time with us and sharing the song all over Turtle Island. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
It really is beautiful. I loved it.
Well, Miigwech, I'm so happy I could be, you know, here to help in whatever way I can. And this is one way that I know that we can get that message out. Because who doesn't want to sing with a little girl, right?
Exactly. And she's adorable.
Exactly. Really? So, King Gigi, we know you got to get going. So thank you for introducing this song to our Native Roots Radio audience.
I just wanted to say this really quick, that in 2017 in New Zealand, they granted legal personhood to the Whanganui River. And I think that they're trying, and people have been talking about giving the Mississippi River personhood. And if they're able to do that, I think that the Mississippi River would have, and other rivers, right, would have more rights and not have to be polluted and pipelines going through it and so on and so forth. So.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, let's bring Nancy back. It was great to have Liz on. That was a beautiful song.
Yeah, it really was.
What do you think, Nancy?
Yeah. Right. A big thing with Liz to her, because, you know, she's a kind heart, and she just loves to share the gift that she has for music and leading the way. And like she mentioned, the water walkers, and, you know, with her guidance, there's so much to learn. And at Minnesota 350, she's actually working with Kate Jacobson, one of our executive directors, and a couple of local people, her daughter Jager as well, to share this video far and wide. And we're encouraging all those along the way that I come across this video is to learn the song and make a video in any way you want and upload it. And we want to do a collective video and share that far and wide, Robert. So I'm spreading the message that water is life. And I just watched this video the other day, and they're showing that water in the cities, you know, the treated water, they're not crystallizing, creating the crystals, you know, the snowflake things, and these crystals that show there's life and there's movement. When you get to the water that's uncontaminated, it's the crystals, the movement of the water life is very scientifically visible. And so what we got to do is we got to quit contaminating our water because it is the basis of all life. So I appreciate Liz and all the good work that she's going to do in sharing the movie song.
Hey, so Nancy, can a man sing this, or is this a woman's song, or could I record this and you know, with my beautiful voice?
You sure could, Robert. And you know, we want young and old, and you know, all walks of life to learn this song, because we all need that water. So I think this is a good teaching, you know, from our culture here in northern Minnesota and all across the island, that water is who we are, and we're going to celebrate that, and we're going to continue to show up and sing about it, celebrate and protect it.
You know, this was kind of a brainchild of Kate. She was up in Fond du Lac, and I heard that Sherry, who I want to give Sherry a shout out. Sherry is saying a lot of really good stuff on her Facebook, and Sherry is a big time water protector, and I got to see her up north do her thing, and I've seen her all around Turtle Island protecting the water. Is what can we do as allies? And it's like learn the water song. And so it'd be great to hear thousands of people coming up to Fond du Lac or Winona's Camp or you know,
and just sing it all together.
Yeah
That would be beautiful.
Bring it up to Tara's camp.
Right, and you know, it's good energy, and it's a good way where we can support the movie, the water that, you know, gives us life, and it's a good way of sharing our culture. And when we share cultures and understand what the culture really means, there's a understanding, Robert. And we got to get back to understanding, that we're different. We're Native people, and we're culturally, people here on this earth that will never be, assimilated as much as they want us to. We're finding out that it's not working, and we need the Green New Deal. We need to find our culture. We need to celebrate the water, and we just need to remember that water is life, and we have to get back to living simple, protecting the water, and you can do that in all kinds of ways. Sing a song and showing up on the front line, Robert.
Absolutely. Hey, we're about to grab a break here. We're going to come back with Nancy Boley of Bemidji 350 and Rise, and also our Tuesday person. But I just want to say this before we get going is Sherry said, I'm listening. As said, 1,000 strong, been waiting. We're getting closer. So 1,000 people singing the water song would be just a beautiful thing. And I think this is a really great way to start it. And P. McGeegee to Liz and Jagger. I remember that name. Isn't that mm-hmm. funny? Like Mick Jagger, Jagger, and what a cutie. And we'll have the video up on Native Roots Radio, and then we're going to TikTok it out and put it out on Instagram and put it out all over Turtle Island. So that's why don't we take a break? You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Wendy Pilot and myself, Wakun Jahade, and Nancy Bolio up next. We'll be right back.
Alusa Nation. We are Alusa Nation.
AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Increasing clouds overnight, one below for an overnight temperature. Then sunshine on Wednesday, but only 12 above for the high. The Great Wall Restaurant, just blocks north of 50th and France in Edina, has been providing a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Beautiful. 8-year-old Jagger singing.
Wow, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that's the water song. We're here with Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 and Rise, and Wendy Pilot, and we also have Ogama on the FaceTime on TV. So we get to watch her too. We wonder what she's doing right now. But hey, welcome back, Nancy.
Well, yes, it's always nice to be back. And a big shout out to Sherry Courtier there in Fond du Lac for getting this beautiful idea of the Navy song out there, 1,000 plus. So we got some work to do, Robert, and getting this out there far and wide. And for all your listeners out there, when you see the video, get that singing voice going and then share it with your friends and family and really, really build on this song because it's so beautiful, Robert. And I'm actually reporting from White Earth tonight.
Yeah, Nancy, are you camping in White Earth?
Well, we did camp last weekend, and it was kind of an organizational camp to plan forward what will be taking place in White Earth here. So we did come up with a plan, and the plan of action now is on February 6th and 7th here in White Earth. We will be hosting a camp, a ceremony camp, and we'll be doing song, dance, prayer, and we are going to offer tobacco this week for the drums, to the elders, to the spiritual leaders and those people, you know, the community to come to the space on the 6th and 7th and looking at what the resistance looks like here in Red Lake. We want to plan that as a community. So as a Minnesota 350 organizer and a relative from Minnesota Chippewa Tribe, Leech Lake, I'm here in Red Lake to help make that happen. So we slept in fish houses last weekend, 8x8 quilted, portable fish houses at Little Mr. Heater. And you know what, Robert, we survived minus 17 below.
Nancy, I can't believe it because I saw your pictures on Facebook of the fish house, and I just said to myself, I was praying that you guys were all warm and cozy because I just couldn't imagine doing it. So really, I give you so much credit. I really do.
See, Nancy, Wendy and I, when we went to Standing Rock, we brought an RV. So we don't understand.
I mean, honestly, I'm old, and I just feel like camping to me right now is if they don't leave a mint on my pillow. I mean, you know.
That's roughing it for you.
That's roughing it for me, you know. So I really give you so much credit. You are truly boots on the ground.
Well, thank you. And, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. It's unfortunately, this pipeline is coming through. But because we want to keep people safe, we feel this is one way of doing it. We do have a little Airbnb on hold up the road. But because the hotels and motels along the preferred route here are all taken by the pipeliners, it's really hard to find a safe way to keep people while we're here trying to resist the 4 and 3. So we're in 8x8, and some of the figures have safety mechanisms built into them, and we got venting in the fish house. So, you know, it was just like having this man-made igloo, you know, and being warm. And just one person per tent, so we had the room to live, you know, and it was a good way to hold space. And we're going to get, you know, canvas tents and a few other things that make life a little bit easier for some people. But this is what we're going to do to get started. And we're going to build she sheds, and we're getting our yurts. And so we're just planning this weekend to move White Earth ready. And so we have this land back project that we're working on, so we can work on building community, because this is more than a pipeline. This is about our treaty obligations to be good neighbors and good stewards of the earth, and finding healing with this purpose that we have to protect all that is sacred. So we want to expand the resistance of Line 3 and bring in the community in this land back project where they can go to the maple syrup camp or the wild rice camp or come and learn some art, and just a place where kids can come that are from broken homes but no questions asked. We're going to take care of them, Robert. So I think we see a lot of good things that are going to come out of White Earth. And I just want to give a little shout out to Red Lake and what they're up to Friday at 5:30 p.m. at the Yurts. They're going to do some winter storytelling. So want to go up to Red Lake and be a part of the treaty stand there. That's a good way to get involved, and we tell stories in winter. So bundle up, 5:30 p.m. at the Yurt. Sunday, they're going to be holding another event. It's called Holding Space Treating Style, and they'll share more about that information if you would like to inbox them on their Facebook page, the Red Lake Treaty Camp.
Wow.
Hey, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we're all veterans all over Turtle Island of Standing Rock, and the Seven Fires have spread all over, and we're using our power through song and through stories and all these things that make us who we are. And I just, I'm thinking that as you're telling the story and then seeing Sherry's posts.
Right. And, you know, we were having this conversation when we were planning this weekend that we want to celebrate the water. We want to celebrate who we are. And so through all that, there's teachings and there's healing that takes place in this community that's built. And I think there's everything about this movement that's beautiful, Robert. It's not holding the front line and going to jail. It's about reclaiming who we are and reminding the politicians and the elected officials that we're still here and Native lives do matter, and this pipeline is threatening our culture and all wooden things. So we want to be educational at the same time, not just holding the front line, you know?
Exactly. I know there's a couple of people that I know from Oregon that just came in town, and they're going to be up in McGeezy's camp and doing good things and doing what it takes. And so we've asked people to come to these camps and support the water and support the people there that are water protectors.
Right, and they can show up at Camp McGeezy this Friday. Camp McGeezy is at an event site for the water, and that starts at 11 o'clock. So they can show up and find out ways on how to stand in solidarity to resist the Line 3 work there on the Fond du Lac Reservation. And, you know, tonight, too, Robert, you know, it's already started, but it's never too late to join. On the Minnesota 350 page, they can find the Stronger Together event. And tonight they're focusing on the missing, murdered Indigenous women and how dangerous this pipeline is, you know, across the preferred route. Especially we see that every single hotel and motel is got out-of-state plates. So yeah, this would be a good way to show up and help support that work in this movement. So tonight from 6:30 to 8 p.m., Minnesota 350 page, Stronger Together event.
You know, one of the things that really bothers me is I see these out-of-state plates, and I see videos and things of people that are driving erratically up there, and it's just not a good thing, and it's a dark cloud, Nancy.
Right. And, you know, going along the route and going from, you know, one camp to the next, I see these work sites, and I see how, you know, they don't care that we locals have families to return home to, and they're just flying by us and without a care in the world. Quite honestly, we had a near accident just on Saturday here in White Earth due to a trucker, you know, and it creates life or death situation. It was a really scary event on Saturday on the road, but I did call one of the chief of police, the one in Bemidji, and let him know, you know, I was in White Earth and I was also in Palisade, and this is what I'm seeing. So we need to get video and proof that this is happening, that they're putting locals in danger. What we also see, Robert, is some of the local people that live in these areas that don't like what we do. So they find out we're out there, and then they get in their cars, and they come driving through on their cell phones while they're driving, and the cops clearly see that they're on their phones and they don't do anything. So I told the chief last night, you know, these people on their phones filming us, exercising our First Amendment, puts us in danger because they're distracted with their phone, and that's illegal in Minnesota, and we need to do something about that too. But nope, they're all over us, Robert, instead, and it's like we're not the ones breaking the law, and the ones that are all the parties that are opposing us when we're holding the front line. But we always show up in a good way, in peace and prayer. And sometimes we get arrested, but you know what? We're not a marching band. We're not just going to make noise, pack up, and go home.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Those days are done.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just been busy up north, I think, especially here in White Earth, just planning forward. And we're really excited that we can, you know, get this beautiful movement on and this side. We're on the Great River Road up here, too, by the way, at the other end of it. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's between Alon and Bethsaida, and that's where they're... we actually did a video the other night. We haven't did an edit and shared it yet, but we're sharing a little bit more information about the other end of the Great River Road, and this is where they cross the Mississippi over here.
Wow.
And you know, just back to last week from Bemidji, Minnesota, Mississippi River that feeds into Lake Irvin, Bemidji, that feeds into Lake Bemidji, Enbridge is down there working, and they actually have a work platform. Mm-hmm. And across the Mississippi, the water is open. They have buoys out there. They have cranes out there. They have backhoes out there. They have a lot of men out there.
Yeah.
And what the little birdie through the city council had said was that there was a problem with the coating on the pipe.
Right.
So my question was to the city council, who oversees Enbridge, because we can't trust them now. That's already been proven, we can't trust Enbridge. So now we see Enbridge.
That's crazy, Nancy. I think we need to take off here, but you know, we really need to dig deeper about this coding in these pipelines. Pingigi for all you do, Nancy Bolio.
Right. Thanks for having me, Robert.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Nancy Bolio, and I'm with Wendy and Ogama. We'll be right back to this short break. Stay with us.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends.
To honor the Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Wow.
And we just had Nancy on. And I have to say it again, Liz, say her name, Jacola?
Jacola.
I'm sorry. Liz Jacola's daughter, Jagger, who's 8 years old, sang that beautiful song, and I love it. I want to learn it and sing it.
All right. Hey, so this is your portion. We'll bring Ogama back on. And Wendy, you have our sacred animal section today to talk about what's going on. And I know there's always something going on.
There's always. And, you know, I said, you know, Robert, when you said we were going to be going on every day, Monday through Friday, and you wanted me to talk about our sacred animals. And I said to myself, there is, unfortunately, enough things to talk about every day. Could you imagine? But I did mention this briefly the other day, but Maureen Hackett, she's the president and founder of Howling for Wolves.
Oh,
who's one of our sponsors. And you probably hear the commercials, too. There's a press release that she just put out. So this is what she wrote. Dear Wolf Advocate, last Friday, the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board narrowly decided by a vote of 4-3 not to hold a wolf hunt this winter and spring. Thank you to the many who sent in comments, 1,400 in total. Every comment matters. So
4-3, that's close.
Isn't that close? That's so close. So anytime you see you're on Facebook and you see a petition, please sign this petition to save the whales or the wolves or whatever. These are really important things for you to just go in and put your information in. It takes like literally these things. They make it so easy. It takes 2 minutes. They're all going to ask for money and they're all going to ask you all this stuff. But the most important thing is, you don't have to send them any money, but the most important thing is your signature and your word saying that this is important to me, right? And these organizations, whether it's Howling for Wolves, the Sierra Club, HSUS, they all send these petitions to our legislators and our senators to look over. Mm-hmm. And the more signatures they get, the better it is. So because of the 1,400 signatures total is what swayed this last person.
Yeah.
And that's why it won.
Yeah.
Without these signatures, we would have lost again, and Wisconsin would be having a wolf hunt.
Wow.
I'm going to go on. As of early January 2021, Minnesota's gray wolves are removed from the endangered species list under the rule from the U.S. Department of Interior. Last week, in response, many environmental groups announced their lawsuit to restore these protections. So again, the Sierra Club, the Humane Society of the United States, Howling for Wolves are all suing and going to court over this. And we're really hoping that our wolves here in Minnesota will be spared a wolf hunt. The Minnesota State Legislator kicked off in early January. We anticipate a bill introduction to restart Minnesota's wolf hunting. We will oppose this and instead push for funding for non-lethal conflict prevention methods and more.
Mm-hmm.
We will be carefully watching and engaging in this process. The Minnesota's DNR Wolf Management Advisory Committee continues to virtually meet on updating their state's wolf plan. Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan oppose a wolf hunt.
And Peggy's from?
the Wolf Clan.
And all tribes, and I should say all, but I shouldn't say all, but I know most tribes do have a wolf clan. I'm the Eagle Clan, and there's Bear Clan, and there's Elk Clan, Fish Clan. And so these are relatives of ours.
Exactly.
That are and that's what Peggy said. And, so we need to really, really, one of the things too, I wonder if you have time, Wendy, just to explain. I know I learn a lot from you and when you've been on the show for all these years. And what is a non-lethal way to get the Skedaddle's wolves out of maybe a rancher's area?
Can you explain sometimes that? They'll use like guard dogs. They'll use flags. So if they blow in the wind, they'll distract the wolf, right? So the wolf leaves.
Pots and pans.
They use sound mechanisms. And it's like sirens just to scare the wolf. Also, when the calves are born, to have calf, put the calf in a shelter right away, right? So the wolf has less time to get that calf and eat the calf. But HSUS, the Humane Society of the United States, has funds. And will pay these ranchers and give them money in order to implement these non-lethal ways to deter these wolves. So it's just a matter of the ranchers wanting to take that advice and even just try it, right? They don't even want to try it. Their first thing to do is like, let's just kill the wolf and get rid of it because it's killing our calves. And if you look at it, overall, the number of calves that are killed per year are very small. The other thing I wanted to mention is the Minnesota DNR Wolf Management Advisory Committee. They have these Zoom meetings where anybody could go on to one of these meetings and give a statement. So the last one, it was a few months ago, I signed up and I just talked with them, and you're allowed like a minute and 30 seconds, and you just tell them why you don't want Minnesota wolves to be hunted. And the more people who we get to sign up for these, and they're really easy to do, you can just go on and just tell them why you don't want the wolf to be killed. Maureen Hackett goes on to say, we will be organizing legislative meetings and email campaigns for wolf advocates in Minnesota. So stay tuned for more details about how you can help the wolf. So I would encourage everyone to just go on howlingforwolves.org and you could see how you can sign up for their newsletters and you could start signing their petitions. If that's all you want to do and that's it and it's really, really helpful, you could go on the Humane Society of the United States page and you look up wolf, or if you want to help elephants, they have petitions for almost every animal, right? If you pick the animal you care about and the cause you want to care about, and you could just by signing that petition and it getting to our legislator means the world.
Absolutely. Great words as always, Wendy Pinigigi, for speaking for our relatives with hooves, legs, tails, and fins.
It's my pleasure.
Patrick, I'm wondering if you could play the water song as we head out for this show today. I'm wondering if you could play that real quick, and I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. Pingy for Liz, Nancy, Ogama, and of course Wendy. The revolution is kicking into high gear. I'd like to thank our listeners. If you've been listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Your way.
nation.